Here I was, blaming AEW for feeding you chicken shit, knowing you mindless millennials would be eating it up as if it were chicken salad, when it's really been your fault all along.
Make chicken salad out of chicken shit. People is as people does, that's all there is to it. Put a square peg in a round hole, just never seems to fit.
This is Bianca Belair.
Here, this is Kevin Owens.
Hey, it's Seth freaking Rollins.
It is the man, Becky Lynch.
It's Rhea Ripley here, and you're listening to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Hello, and welcome to Australia's longest-running wrestling podcast, Making Chicken Salad, with me, your stand-in host, Jeff Setti. Lachlan Albert is away on assignment. I love it when people say that. Who knows what it means? But Lachlan's not here tonight. And I am joined, of course, by not only the best manager ever, but the real Undertaker, Todd Eastman. How you going, Toddy?
How am I the real Undertaker? What have I undertaken?
I don't know. You undertook getting your dogs out when you were trying to wee. That's what you undertook.
Oh, dear. Yeah, well. Thank you. No, I did go and see. I went and saw the Undertaker one-man show last week. Yeah, it was last week. Last Thursday. That's why we did the show early last week.
That's why we did the show early.
Because I went on the Thursday to see it, which was... Do you know what the funny thing is, actually? I'll tell you guys, because I only one knows this is Mitch, who I was with, Mitch Ryder, who I was with, is that before you go in, they make you take off your smartwatches, your phones. You put them all in a bag and it's all locked and all of that good stuff. And they're like, yep, you got everything's fine. You got it on silent. Yes, I've got my phone on silent, blah, blah, blah. What I forgot was that every night, that's not Thursday, thank God, every night but Thursday, I have an alarm set at 9:30 at night to start playing Get to the Gym, You Fat C-Bomb.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I forgot that it wasn't set for Thursday as well. So here is me absolutely terrified. Couldn't tell the time because I didn't have a watch. I didn't know when 9:30 was going to hit, so I could try and like sit on it or hide it or whatever. And just frozen until I was like, hang on, tonight's Thursday. Thank God that's not happening.
Well, I'm quite pleased to hear it. I heard Taker's show was very good. So it was. Well done to all that went. And
the one thing I will say, like, he got asked the question.
Mm.
He got asked about the whole Vince thing, and I think his answer was really good. It was a very, like, he's obviously had time to possibly think about it. The way the person asked the question is that they asked it more in the frame of, how do you feel about people like Chris Benoit, et cetera, getting, like, essentially erased from history because of stuff that they've done? Yeah. And like Undertaker started answering it, and someone in the crowd goes, Vince McMahon. He looks at, he just looks and goes, no shit. If I have trouble, you're the first person I'll call. But until then, just, you know, and then carried on with his answer. And like, I completely, like, the way he answered it is essentially said, look, I completely understand it's a corporation. They need to go to sponsors. They need to do all of that sort of stuff, blah, blah, blah. So it's a really hard one for me personally, because I can only judge people on how they treated me and how I was around, how they were when I was around. So he goes, for me, it's really hard. I don't know how more I can answer that in a way to you, because I completely understand where they're coming from. But I also... it's like how they were around when they were around me.
Yeah.
Which is, I suppose, if you think about it, because both you and I have probably been around people that have been, like, nowadays, that have been cancelled in the past, like, from the past, have been cancelled now. Like, you could sort of empathize where they're going. Like, I can't believe that person did X, but that I never saw any of that when I was with that person.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he certainly, I mean, Owen said much the same thing. And so he certainly managed to separate, you know, his behaviors, I guess. Let's move on.
Let's move on.
We wouldn't discuss it until something new came up. Thank you to everyone who listened last week. Amazing numbers. Really, really, really strong. We're thrilled with the response, not only from punters, but also from a few people who actually do the grabs. And really enjoyed last week's show, including our friends from EPW. So thank you for your kind words as well. Tonight, of course, we're looking at AEW Revolution. And, of course, the big news coming out of that is it was Sting's last match. Nothing else of note happened in the show at all. It was fine. Now we'll take a break. No, we'll look at AEW Revolution. Let's just go through the results quickly and then we'll talk through each one. The 0 Hour, the Bang Bang Scissor Gang defeated Jeff Jarrett, Singh, Lethal, Mac, and Private Party. Chris Statlander and Willow Nightingale defeated Julia Hart and Sky Blue. The main show, Christian Cage defeated Daniel Garcia for the to retain the TNT Championship. Eddie Kingston defeated Bryan Danielson. I apologize, everybody. Bryan Danielson for the AEW Continental Crown. Wardlow defeated Lance Archer, Powerhouse Hobbs, Chris Jericho, Hook, Magnus, and Dante Martin. Wardlow is now the number one contender. Roderick Strong defeated Orange Cassidy. He is the new AEW International Championship holder. BCC of Claudio and Moxley defeated FTR. Timeless Tony Storm, darling, defeated Deanna Purrazzo to retain her AEW Women's World Championship. Will Ospreay defeated Konosuke Takeshita. Samoa Joe defeated Adam Page and Swerve Strickland for the AEW Championship. And Sting and Darby Allin went out as victors by defeating the Young Bucks. Kyle O'Reilly returned at the end of the Roderick Strong and Orange Cassidy match. It looks quite hairy and a little bit hippie. I quite like the new look, Kyle O'Reilly, really. But just
the promo hippie. he cut on Dynamite was a little bit like that as well. A little bit hippie-ish.
I have not yet watched Dynamite. Now, do you want to go from the 0 Hour or should we just go for the main card?
Mate, I didn't watch the 0 Hour, so we won't go.
Neither did I.
Look, I'm still like, honestly. Because I looked at it when I looked, because I forgot, honestly, I forgot there was a 0 Hour. So yes, there you go.
So when I was doing that. Hi to Tim Wilkes and Beetle Bailey, who've both joined us in the chat. So hi, thanks for coming on board.
When I was doing our run sheet, I looked at it and I was like, the first thing I thought is like, is Willie Mac a heel now? And a Private Party heels. Because I thought they were back being faces, and I never thought Willie Mack was a heel, and I didn't get that at all.
I got to admit, I know that Statlander's recently turned heel and is doing a great job. She's like
She's not really heel. It's like her and Willow are sort of like doing that thing. It's more what's his name is being sort of like the instigator.
Stokely Hathaway. Yeah. Who's great. I really dig Stokely stuff.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, the show opened with Christian Cage defeating Daniel Garcia for the TNT Championship. What were your thoughts on this one, Todd?
It was good. I hated the fact that like I wanted Daniel Garcia to win, but I know it's not time.
No.
I know it's not time for Christian to look, because the only way Christian's gonna lose it, I reckon, is through Edge. Edge is gonna win that title. Probably in Toronto because they've set it up. They set it up to like today on Dynamite that it's going to be in Toronto. So that aside from that, like it was good. Like I like Daniel Garcia. They had there was a lot of the old fuckery on the outside for Christian to get the win. So yeah, it was good. Yeah. It was a good solid open.
I quite enjoyed it. Christian is doing the work of his career. I think I've said that for months, but he really is great in this role and clearly hilarious. He's almost getting cheered. That's how good he is. He's almost getting cheered. I enjoyed this match as well. A perfect opener. But what was next? Wow. Eddie Kingston defeated Bryan Danielson to retain the AEW Continental Crown. I'm sorry. What did you think of this one, Toddy? I can't tell you how much I enjoyed it.
Look, I loved it. I hated the finish. I thought the finish was so sloppy, and the way like Brian like stumbled into that powerbomb just looked like shit. I'm sorry, like, and I love Brian Danielson. I really like Eddie Kingston as well. And poor Eddie Kingston is copping it on X at the moment. Like, I feel sorry for the guy. Like, if he's watching or looking at X, the way that the I don't even want to say what they're calling him, like the nickname they've given him, but it's I hate it. I think it's just shit because he's a great worker. I just thought Tim Wilkes says the finish was rushed. No, I just think the finish was sloppy.
I agree.
Like sloppy punches, and even like Daniel's sell into it was sloppy.
I think the finish was rusty. I won't go as far as to say sloppy, but it looked a bit rusty. But it didn't take away from the fact the match was fantastic for mine. It was
more like a...
Yeah. And just really emotional. Kingston plays emotional like no one else. He's fantastic.
Yes. There's also online like a 10-minute like promo sort of thing with the two of them in the doctor's thing afterwards, which is really good. If you've got time, I'd go and look it up because it's really good.
I will check that out. Also, what must be mentioned during this match was Nigel McGuinness was just brilliant on commentary, just teasing the argument with Danielson, just constantly saying things like he can't be the best scientific wrestler in the world. That is Zack Sabre Jr. And it was just brilliant. It was great. I really, really enjoyed his work through the whole night. But this match particularly, he stood out until JR took over. And JR took over and I was fine with it for this show. I wouldn't be fine on most shows, but for this show, I was okay with it.
He's actually just re-signed for another year, but I think mainly doing the pay-per-views.
Yeah,
Jim Ross. That is.
I'm fine hearing his voice do a match or two. That's not where the problem is.
I think he's almost at the age now where he just can't do. He couldn't do weekly anymore.
No, he couldn't.
So bring him in for the special matches. Bring him in for that's what JR's good for.
The way they did with this show, which I thought was fantastic. Up next is your meaty man meat clusterfuck. Wardlow defeated Lance Archer, Powerhouse Hobbs, DNA, NDA Boy, Hook, Magnus, and Dante Martin. So Wardlow is now the number one contender. NDA Boy, of course, is the wonderful Chris Jericho. Go away. Sorry.
Yeah, don't worry. It got worse on today, mate, when you watch Dynamite. You'll love that. this was like, it was Meat Madness, but then they renamed it. It was like All-Star Challenge or something like that because two of the two people that they wanted in the match were like injured. So they couldn't, but I'll tell you what, like when these guys come out, like you have a look, it's like Wardlow, Lance Archer, Powerhouse Hobbs, Chris Jericho, Hook, Magnus from like CMLL, and then Dante Martin. I'm like, gee, I wonder who's taking the pin in this fucking match.
Yeah. Yeah. It was quite obvious who was taking the pin.
And also for rankings, it's funny how they said the winner of this is the number one contender when they're apparently got rankings.
Yeah. It's a huge dichotomy and break that that AEW have. Look, I thought this was shit. To be honest. I just didn't dig this at all. This did not work on any levels because there was too many clashes of styles. It was dross. It was a way to get eight guys out there and make eight, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven guys out there and make Wardlow the number one contender. That's honestly what I thought. And there were so many other ways to do it. Beetle Bailey, 1996, chiming in with, this match was a mess. Yes, it was. It was a complete and utter clusterfuck.
But you know what? These matches, like, I never really expect much from these matches anyway because it is always just going to be a train wreck. It's just always going to be that way. And it was a way for him to get Chris Jericho on a pay-per-view and not get anything on them, I think. I know you're not a fan.
That's not to you. I'm not a fan. But as a human being, since I found out what I found out, absolute garbage. And yeah, Beetle Bailey 96 saying it. Multi-man matches are just card filler. That's quite right. Roderick Strong defeated Orange Cassidy to be the new AEW International Champion. I enjoyed this match. I really enjoyed this match, actually, because O'Reilly came out but didn't factor in the finish. It was won reasonably cleanly. I'm not entirely sold on the Undisputed Kingdom. I'm not huge on them. They haven't done anything of note yet.
No.
It's kind of weird having them there, but I thought it was time to take the belt off Orange, and Roddy's a good wrestler, so I'm happy if it becomes a scientific-focused belt. Yeah, really enjoyed that. We got a run now of actually quite good matches.
Yeah, right. That was a really good match. It was, do you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of sort of like old school TNA.
Yeah.
That's what the match, that's what that match reminded me of. And like you said, Roderick Strong is a really good worker. He's really good. I don't like the whole yelling people's first names and the whole the Undisputed Kingdom. They sort of took their teeth away because they don't attack people. They don't do anything. They're just the normal part of the roster again, where they started out by attacking people left, right, and center. And then as soon as they were unveiled, okay, we're unveiled. So now we're just part of the roster. It just to me, and today you haven't seen it yet on Dynamite. The start of the show, there was a promo with It was a promo with Swerve, and then Samoa Joe came out, and then like the Undisputed Kingdom came out with Adam Cole and all that. And Swerve makes a joke, just going, oh, "It's really, I like your new group now with you as the manager, Adam Cole. It's great." what are you as the manager in your little chair doing your best Inspector Gadget, Dr. Claw impersonation?
I like Swerve so much. I can't wait till he's world champion. It's happening. It's definitely happening.
So and that was too, like, because I won't do it for my chicken shit, but like this week, today on Dynamite, the opening was that promo, like I said, but then it turned into Samoa Joe and Swerve Strickland in a tag team match against OGK, who are the current Ring of Honor tag team champions, and then they beat them.
Yeah, of course they did.
They beat them, like, because when the match started, I'm like, how are they going to get out of this? Like, they're a champ. I was like, oh, they're not going to get out of it. They're just going to beat them. That's something you should do, I guess.
Tony, stop devaluing your belts. And just a heads up for later in the show, I am going to ask you your chicken shit and chicken salad first, obviously. Bit weird if I don't. From there, Claudio and Moxley defeated FTR, and Moxley didn't blade, so I was happy.
Dax did.
It was weird. But I love this. I thought this was great. Yeah. A lot of fun. I like the teasing of the handshake at the end. They didn't go straight for the "Hey, we respect you." It wasn't quite there, but yeah, I thought this was terrific. I really did.
I love the entrance with Moxley and Claudio with the Road Warriors shoulder pads.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool,
especially for where they were.
Yeah. I thought that was a nice. Well, where else is Sting going to retire but in Greensboro? I thought it was a nice touch. I think that Mox and Claudio are an excellent tag team. They work so well together. They've got a nice blending style, and it's a nice way to still have them around but not have them at the top of the card. So they're both really, really good players to be a tag team. I'm fine with them as a tag team. I'm beginning to realize, as much as I love Claudio, he probably is a modern-day Arn Anderson. He's probably that guy who's really close but never quite going to be
that guy,
but he's an excellent tag wrestler, particularly. I mean, obviously, I'm wearing the Kings of Wrestling, baby. So, all the way back in Ring of Honor with Hero.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Well, that being said, the run he had as the ROH champion, that was good. Like, I think he's a good, like, if we were put this in like WWE terms, he's a good Intercontinental US champion.
Yeah,
and I'm like a really good that guy.
I don't like saying that because you know what I think of Claudio. He's the man.
Yeah.
He's the man.
Yeah.
He makes the worst joke. If you've ever heard him interviewed, he intentionally tells horrible jokes. And I'll always remember this one. Knock, knock.
Oh, sorry. Who's there?
Smell mop.
Smell mop who?
No, smell mop.
Oh, smell my poo.
Right.
Yeah. Actually, if you've ever, have you read Mox's book?
I've listened to the first half. I've still got it.
Oh, read. Okay. He puts Mum Claudio jokes all the way through that.
Yeah, he would. He would. After that, we devolve into madness. It's timeless Toni Storm with now her butler. Was her director, but now her butler. defeating Deonna Purrazzo for the AEW Women's World Championship, retaining it. There was no surprise here. There was no surprise.
No. But I tell you what, I was fooled for a second. I did not realize that was Mariah May for a second. I was like, holy shit, why would Toni do this?
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I was like, oh no, they've already won it back. Don't be that wishy-washy about the gimmick. It's a good gimmick. But no, they did a great job on that.
And then Toni, too, in the post-show press conference, explained why that happened. Because remember she said on a promo, I'm going to give you a little flash of me in the past?
Yeah.
That's what that was.
Yeah. I think everyone bought into it. And Mariah did a great job just doing a little glasses lowering. And then when the camera pans out, like, oh, okay, it's not her. Oh, look, I thought this was great. I thought the crowd were unreasonably quiet through it, which was a bit of a shame. They love Toni, though. They absolutely love timeless Toni Storm. The gimmick is so over. Like, good on her for getting out of what was a rut. And also, yeah. I just want to say... Andy PWDU saying everyone should watch Toni at the post-show media scrum. She's incredible. She has been for the last 6 months.
She was really good.
And I don't know if anyone is aware of this, but Britt Baker was not on this show. She hasn't been on the show for about 4 months. I don't miss her.
I don't know if she's injured. I don't know if anyone else does.
I hope she's not. I hope she's okay and just taking time away to refresh.
Things you say that and you don't miss her and all that. She's a really good worker and she could be used on these cards. Like her she was on the card. Neither was Mexican. What's her name? Thunder Rosa. Thank you. Thunder Rosa wasn't. There's a whole lot of girls on this card. They had two girls matches, but there was only.
It would have been nice to see another girls match on the main show. I also think that I agree Britt Baker's an excellent worker, but what I'm saying is everyone needs to go away for a while because if you don't go away, we can't miss you, Chris Jericho. Mm. So everyone needs to go away for a while so we can miss them. It was the same thing with Kenta. When Kenta came back to NJPW, he was just shoved down our throats, hence the reason his heel turn was so good. After that, match of the night, probably, again, is it too early in the year to give my match of the year? Because this one's definitely going to be up there. Will Ospreay defeated Konosuke Takeshita in what was a fantastic match. It did not stop. Bell to bell, this packs the most action I've ever seen in. Amazing near falls, kickouts, everything. Just brilliant. What did you think, Todd?
It was good. It was very good. I'm not a massive fan of the whole fighting spirit.
Fair enough.
I don't want to get into it because it's a full, like, because I know I understand where people are coming from, but I also think that when people get hit with certain moves, they should maybe sell them a little bit.
That's it. We're done. Bye.
No, I'm you know what I mean, though, don't you? It's just like it was a very good New Japan style match.
It was always going to be because that's where Will get working a different style over time. Give him a year and he'll just be fantastic. I still love this. I still think this was amazing.
Yeah,
I believe.
Don't get me wrong. I think it was a great match. I think it was. I'm just not a massive fan of that part of it.
Fair enough. I'm just remembering.
It's amazing.
Last year's end of year show, I said Gunther was the wrestler of the year, not Ospreay, but that's fine.
because this got me blocked by Mr. Dave, Uncle Dave, myself. Because Uncle Dave went off on one of the shows this week with Brian Alvarez, talking about his biggest complaint of the Gunther Dom match was Gunther wasn't selling his hand after he chopped the pole. And this was after he talked and raved about Will Ospreay and Takeshita for that. And so he was like, he wrote this tweet out and he said something like, oh yeah, I knew people were going to upset about this because of how absurd the other one was. And I couldn't help myself because I don't know if you guys remember, but a couple of weeks ago, he did this thing where he put a tweet out where he said, I wrote a positive thing for WWE and a positive thing for AEW. And I did a super secret study where I looked at the responses and who didn't like me and who if I got bad responses or if I got good responses from these things. And this outnumbered this, blah, blah, blah. So I wrote on this new post, was this another one of your super secret surveys? And then I got blocked.
Yeah. I thought this was great. But I'm a huge mark for Gunther, and I want to see who eventually is going to take that title off him, if any single person or whatever. Smosa Joseph beat Adam Page and Swerve Strickland to retain the AEW World Championship. I thought this was terrific as well. I really liked this. It was silly and fun, and Joe is wrestling like it's 10 years ago again. He really is. He's wrestling so well at the moment.
Yeah, literally the only thing I would have changed about this match was the framing of the finish. I would have had it so Adam Page could be looking at Swerve when he tapped.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just to say, look, I know that I'm not winning, but you're not winning either. And I told you weren't going to win.
Yeah. That's a good point. I really like Page at the moment. I think it's interesting what he's doing. You're just looking at him going, yeah, you're not all there at the moment, brother. You know what I mean? you need to calm down, sit down, have some warm milk and cookies. You know, he was another one
too at the post-show press conference was really good. You were really, really good. Because they mentioned that they brought up about how Swerve said something, how he was wearing a poncho a couple of years ago doing commentary. And he said, I might have been wearing a poncho, but I was making millions getting ready. And if I was, you just got beat by a guy who wore a poncho.
Excellent. Excellent. I really like that they're moving away from the cowboy shit character and they're making him, you know,
angry Magnum TA.
Yeah. He's got a really good moveset. He's a great wrestler. We haven't seen enough of that in AEW. I'm being honest. We just didn't. We didn't get to see a lot of it. So I really like that they're reinventing it.
I hate to say it because it makes me sound like an old man, but they needed to move away from him being all up in his feelings all the time.
Yep. Yep. They needed to move away from midlife crisis.
Yeah.
Cowboy Adam Page. I think it's pretty obvious that Swerve is the next champ. I really do.
I can't see anyone else unless like MVP comes back. MVP, MJF comes back. I can't see anyone else. And even then, he would have to do a little bit of.
Yeah, I think it's going to swerve. And I'd be surprised if Adam Page's new character doesn't win it at some point. Then we finished that. And JR did a great job on commentary for these two matches, by the way. McGinnis powdered out. JR came in, did a great job. And then for the last time ever, I got kind of emotional. Boy, his kids look amazing. I can't believe how emotional I got, but it was Sting and Darby Allin defeated the Young Bucks to retain the AEW World Championships. It's Sting's last match ever. I mean, Sting is an incredible performer. You can't say enough about the guy. It was lovely to see Ricky Steamboat and Ric Flair in Greensboro, North Carolina as well. I could have had Magnum and Nikita in the audience, and you know,
Scotty Reeves for some reason.
I'm almost positive that they probably smuggled Cody in under a hood somewhere.
Why not? DDP and Lex Luger were in the back. They weren't actually shown on TV.
Yeah, there were several in the back. And I would be surprised if one of them wasn't Cody, let's be honest, because, you know, Cody left because he left. There's no... So Sting and Darby Allin defeated the Young Bucks. The Young Bucks did 100% the right thing in this match. I really enjoyed their work. Nicholas and Matthew are quite funny. Now I'm finding them very, very ironically funny. Beetle Bailey says here, I almost thought Sting reverted to his original look again. His sons looked incredible.
Yeah, one of them, the one that had the mohawk, the one that had the flat top, he looks a lot like Sting. Looks like his dad.
And he does better corner splashes than some Australian wrestlers. Let's move on. Look, I thought this was terrific until Darby Allin. What the fuck was that? For those who have not yet watched it, Darby Allin leapt off a very tall ladder and fell through a plane of glass. Whether it was real glass or sugar glass is beside the point. It was, for all intents and purposes, a pane of glass. I did not need to see this. I thought this was sick. I thought this was a really, really sad turn. Darby, we get it. You've got a death wish. We don't want to see it every week. I don't know if I'm speaking for you or not, Todd. I'm assuming I am, because we both sort of, both of our reactions are, oh, we're going to talk about the fall on the show.
Yeah, we're talking about that fall.
it made me feel sick, to be honest. And the fact that he couldn't be there for the rest of the match, he came in at the end, sure. It just detracted from what was otherwise a really nice match. The Bucks were great. They played their parts perfectly. Like, Ric Flair was terrific in covering up Sting and telling them not to give him the super kick. And even Ricky with his little cameo was terrific. I just didn't need to see that. That's the kind of thing that Punk would have gotten really upset about. It was almost a shot at Punk without him being there. It was just bullshit.
No, look, I think it was a shot at Punk. I think it was just him being him. That's Darby. That was apparently the one spot he fought for in that match, was to do that. Off a 20-foot ladder through a pane of glass on the... I'm just trying to pull up. There was a post on he made about it, because they talked about the precautions or some shit like that. So just... But it was unnecessary. Like, I don't know why... I don't know why it was done. I understand that's what he wanted. Sports Illustrated reported, multiple people in AEW confirmed the pane of glass was the one spot Darby Allin wanted above all. Once it was determined that Darby would make the jump, safety measures were applied, a rehearsal occurred earlier than usual in the day, and a stunt coordinator instructed how to place the items and reviewed the proper protocols. There were also nearby doctors anticipating the spot, and they were on high alert, and Darby had not been able to return to the match, the Bucks were prepared to call an alternate finish. All of that is well and good. That is still, like, you can take all these precautions. Do you know what the best precaution is? Say no. You can't do that, mate.
Yeah. Don't do it. Look, your body is filled with arteries and veins. Do the math.
Yeah.
It's going through a pane of fucking glass.
Yeah, I mean, we'll take the news item out, but he got 12 stitches from that. I mean, he's very, very lucky to have done that. And like somebody in the comments, because all that was written up, somebody in the comments was like, pretty sure there was a stunt coordinator in for Owen too, and that went haywire. The best thing is to not do that.
A stunt coordinator was standing up there with him. A stunt coordinator was standing with Owen.
I just, when he released, yeah, the exactly. Class. Andy's, sorry, I'm just gonna move me. See, this is where he comes in really handy, old Lockman. Andy from PWD. So imagine being a stunt coordinator prepared to sign off on that. you can't predict glass breaking exactly, which could kill him through bloodline. 100%. 100%.
Absolutely.
That's the thing. And not only that, apparently there's been there was a fair few people in the crowd that got hit by glass that have apparently gone back to AEW trying to sue them. But AEW put up a thing at the start of the show which they think holds them like harm-free or harmless for doing it.
Here's the thing, right? Several years ago, when I was less one half a foot in the industry and more outside of it, I went to an MCW show, and the MCW show was headlined by Crackerjack versus Lockie in a Four Corners of Hell match. There was glass, there was everything. Now, the wonderful digital beard, Owen, who everyone in Melbourne knows because he's at all the shows, the wonderful digital beard walked around to us whenever there was going to be a spot with glass near us and said, heads down, guys. Heads down, making sure that we were safe. I didn't see evidence of that in Darby's spot. It's not just the audience I'm worried about. It's the ringside attendance. It's the, you know, glass is a very unpredictable thing. I don't need to see that. In what was otherwise a really nice match and a lovely moment for Sting.
And look, obviously he doesn't mind. He was fine with it. He obviously signed off on it and all of that good stuff. It's still just like, I don't know. Maybe I'm an old fart when it comes to it, but I don't think there was any reason for it. There's a thousand other ways you could have taken like Darby out for a fair part of the time.
Absolutely. You know, yeah, Darby wants to do the big everybody talking about it stunts. It doesn't mean we're talking about it in a glowing way. You know, let's be honest. This, and I'm not seeing many people coming out in defense of it now, chat. So, you know, Tim's not, Andy's not, Beetle Bailey's not. It was simply to put a high controversial spot in there that people are going to talk about. Just present good wrestling. You did it for the rest of the night. The rest of the night was a really good show until that spot. Now, I still really like this show. I thought this was a good bounce back from the show at the end of last year. I thought this was a really lovely show. But we didn't need that on spot.
Yeah, World's End was terrible. This was really good.
This was very good. And then they gave Sting a couple of minutes to say goodbye, and then apparently he spoke for about another 10 minutes thanking Rick and Ricky and everyone else in the back and, you know, his boys and his wife. And, you know, he had a really nice moment.
They cut him off. They put it up on YouTube afterwards.
They only had a certain amount of pay-per-view time left. I hope that Steve Borden now enjoys his retirement. I expect that he'll wind up being a producer or a road agent for AEW, but I hope he enjoys his retirement from in-ring.
I don't even think he'll be that. I think he'll be like an ambassador. He'll do appearances, stuff of that nature. Sound like someone else now. Stuff of that nature and things of that ilk.
Actually, Andy PWDU brings up a good point. Do you want to bring him up on screen? Speaking of awful spots, we didn't talk about the awful Tiger Driver 91 spot with Ospreay and Takeshita. It's another move I never need to see again. It's totally unnecessary. I actually put that in our chat, Andy. Lachlan, Todd and I obviously have a chat, and I put in there, Ospreay versus Takey was great, but I never want to see the Tiger Driver 91 again. He's got to stop doing it. It is going to hurt someone eventually. The law of averages states eventually, and he's a safe wrestler and he's a very good wrestler, but eventually that is going to hurt someone. It was pretty gross. It was pretty gross. But, you know, and Ospreay even admits that it's a bad move, says Tim Wilkes. So
yeah, he did.
I would prefer they never do it again. You know, it's not the Burning Hammer. Burning Hammer's pretty safe. You can do a Burning Hammer, that'd be fine. But all up, I thought this was a great show. I really enjoyed it. What were your thoughts, Todd?
Yes, all up, I thought it was really, really good. Really, really good. It's a solid. It wasn't like Tony said, the best show he's ever, and like groundbreaking and all that good and happy horse stuff. But it was just a really good, really good solid match, solid show, up and down. There's certain things that they're doing, which is I think is good. They're trying different stuff. Like they didn't do a lot of the backstage stuff, but they did a lot of stuff with like almost UFC-ish with Renee reporting to the screen while the person was behind warming up. And then I think the other girl, I can't remember what the other girl's name is off the top of my head, was doing it for Bryan Danielson when he was warming up as well. That I really liked. I liked the fact that what they've done is that they went in the complete opposite direction of WWE, where WWE has so much time in between matches, whereas I suppose that they sort of half have to because of how many matches they have on a show.
They got 37 matches on the show, Tony. Of course,
yeah, they yeah. So they sort of have to really move, but that moves the show moves on at a pace.
Yeah, it cracks along. It's really really good. Look, I thought this was such a fun show. Again, much like yourself, I like that it's a faster moving show. There's not the length of time between each. Now, I do want to mention one thing. I think they were chanting "fuck Don Callis" at some point. I don't mind it as much with AEW. AEW is not a family product. WWE is a family product, and that's why I will not rag on the AEW audience. Well, for that, I'll rag on them for other shit. But for that one, no, they get a pass for that because it's a more adult show. Yeah, I thought this was great, and I believe today's Dynamite is really really fun. Almost a new look, and it seems like they're almost going in a new direction. Of note, it looks like Ospreay and Danielson are going to have a match sooner rather than later, from what I've heard. So, I'm out for that.
Wow, that's I haven't seen, like I said, I haven't actually seen I've seen about halfway through Dynamite so far. One thing I will say, I saw it on Dynamite today, is that the Bucks, before they did an in-ring thing to introduce Okada, to do the angle with Okada, but before that, they pretty much did a piss take on the Tony Khan announcements where they acted like Tony. They even did the "thanks, guys," and the whole thing is, yeah, that, as much as they annoy the shit out of me, that did pop me. I was like, fuck, yeah, thank God someone's finally doing it.
And, of course, unsurprisingly, with Sting and Darby Allin, Sting retiring, Darby's not going to hold the tag team belts by himself. It's going to be a tournament. I know it's a new concept for AEW, a tournament. Yeah. It'd be interesting to see who they wind up with being their tag champs. I'm hoping it's not the Bucks. I think the Bucks are smart enough to keep away from the belts for a while.
Yeah. All I know so far that there was one team that's been announced. That as far as I've watched it at Dynamite, the best friends, but it was Orange and Trent as a tag team, because Thingy's not clear yet.
Yeah.
So they're a tag team. Yeah, I think it starts Rampage this week, the tournament. Right. So they have to be cracking out with what the actual like brackets are and stuff like that, because we still haven't seen anything and it's Thursday.
But AEW is doing great work at the moment. I'm the first one to criticize them when they pull out some shit, but this was a terrific show. And as I said to you straight away while I was watching it, hey, I want to catch up on Dynamite this week, and I'm really excited to watch it.
It's weird too that they're doing all of this really good work, but it's not translating into ticket sales.
That takes longer. I mean, really, WWE have only just in the last probably year seen an uptick in ticket sales since Vin Man's gone, and obviously will never come back, ever, ever.
No, well, that was made very clear this week by the TKO, head of TKO. Mm. He made that very clear. Somebody, because Vince sold or is selling 20 million stock or something like that. He's making 400 million off it. So that's how much stock he's getting rid of. And yeah. somebody asked thing about it. And he was just like, we don't know what his intentions are. We don't talk to Vince. Vince isn't part of the company anymore. Vince has not been to the office. We have no idea what he's doing anymore. He's never coming back to the office. So they made it very, very clear that he's in nowhere in their future plans of like returning.
But on behalf of all of us here at Wrestle Radio Australia, we'd like to wish you all your best in your future endeavors. All right. Bit of sarcasm there. Again, AEW, keep bringing that stuff on. If you want to bring the right stuff on, don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to Wrestle Radio Australia. Give us a
subscribe. Did you say unsubscribe?
Subscribe.
Oh, I was like, what are you doing?
Not unsubscribe. If you listen to us on Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you listen to us, wherever you get your podcasts from, give us a tick, give us a review. If you give us a 5-star review, it gets us into more ears, more people listen to us. There are people who watch us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, wherever you watch us and listen to us. Thank you so much for joining us here at Wrestle Radio Australia each and every Thursday. We have had an incredible couple of weeks. The coverage from the Elimination Chamber stuff was fantastic. We got a lot of kudos on that, from not just from people within Australia, but people outside of Australia as well. And we are so excited to bring to you what is happening each and every week in wrestling through Australia and abroad, but with a focus on Australia. And we have a focus on the news, and we're going to be hitting that when we get back after this short break.
For the first time ever, StarCast goes international. Oceania Pro Wrestling presents StarCast Down Under, set to take Ballarat, Victoria by storm from April 11th through to April 14th, bringing the StarCast experience to Australia. And with all the staples of StarCast that has made it a wrestling fan's dream destination, meet and greets with your favorite wrestling stars of yesterday and today, live stage shows including A Sunday with Bret Hart, a retrospective on his Hall of Fame career, including a special watch-along celebration of the 30th anniversary of the Hitman's legendary WrestleMania 10 match against his brother Owen. Also including an audience Q&A with the excellence of execution. We'll also have live wrestling shows, in-ring action, including Mickie James's all-women's show, Her, and a special supercard, Bret Hart's Australian Stampede. All this along with the photo ops, autographs, merch and memorabilia, making Ballarat the place to be this April. Never before has a weekend like this taken place in Australia until now. StarCast Down Under, presented by Oceania Pro Wrestling. Tickets are available now. Visit StarCast.com for more information.
Hello and welcome back to Wrestle Radio Australia. I'm your stand-in host, Jeff Setti, joined as always by the poor man's Dave Meltzer, Todd Eastman. Thank you, Todd. I was waiting for that. we're going to move on now to the wrestling news. And, of course, first up, and if this is an indication of what Triple H is making the Hall of Fame look like, I am all in. Paul Heyman and Bull Nakano named to the 2024 WWE Hall of Fame. Like, two great choices, two absolutely fantastic choices.
Yeah, it definitely seems like that if he's the one that's in charge of doing the Hall of Fame now, that it's going to take a skew into the actual, to an actual Hall of Fame. Do you know what I mean? Just the fact that, like, Paul Heyman was pretty much a shoe-in when they were going to Philadelphia. Paul Heyman's, like, That's ECW's home. That has to be
Paul Heyman. It has to be Paul Heyman.
The Bull Nakano thing is very left field, but very like appropriate.
Absolutely welcome. I always thought Bull Nakano was an extraordinary athlete. Who else can you see going in this year?
I don't know. I really don't know. It's because in my mind, I'm trying to think of like ECW guys you could put in, possibly.
I mean,
like, Funk, like
Funk is already in.
Funk's already in. Maybe Funk's like a oh geez, like a Raven.
You can't put Taz in.
No.
Maybe Raven. Maybe even Todd Gordon.
I don't know. Because he doesn't have
a deep cut, though.
You know? No, well, not so much that, but he doesn't have the best relationship with Paul.
No, no one has the best relationship with Paul except Paul.
Because I listened to the Todd is God book. I haven't read it. I've listened to it, the audio of that. And he doesn't have exactly glowing terms in the way that ECW changed hands with Paul. So I can't, like, I understand where you're coming from. And yeah, it is, it's a deep cut. But I think Raven, I don't know about Dreamer, maybe, because Dreamer's TNA, but they've got a sort of a working thing with TNA.
There's two other names I've got for you if you're going to go ECW. He only did one or two spots with the Fed, but Mikey Whipwreck.
Oh, yeah.
Mikey can't wrestle anymore, and I think from that perspective it would be sweet if they inducted him.
Has Mikey had a Hall of Fame career?
He's a Triple Crown ECW winner. Of course he has. Yes, he was essentially a comedy act. But look, James Dudley is in the Hall of Fame. Coco Beware is in the Hall of Fame, and nothing against Coco.
Yeah, I know that, but like, if we're like, cause we literally just talked about if Triple H is going to rehab this thing and make it a pure, proper Hall of Fame, then we have to not go, well, Coco Beware's in the Hall of Fame, because that's defeating the purpose of what they're trying to do.
And the other name I can see going,
like,
in
if he year. Wasn't. If he wasn't working for AEW so much, RVD, Jerry Lynn,
Taz. The other person,
RVD and Jerry Lynn, Steve Corino, possibly.
Yeah. Steve works for the E. He works for the Performance Center. I think the other person who might go in, there's two other names that might go into to the Hall of Fame, if we're doing an ECW Hall of Fame class. One is Yoshihiro Tajiri. Because Tajiri did a lot in WWE. He was a former cruiserweight champ. He was a former tag champ. Really, really good worker. And the other one, although Regal and he have a very trying relationship if you read anything that Regal's written about Tajiri. And the other one is Sabu. Sabu could go in as well.
What about Shane Douglas?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he deserves it.
Is Bam Bam in?
But I think Bam Bam's in. As long as...
Where's Lachlan? Lachlan does this stuff.
As long as Shane Douglas comes out to the old Dean Douglas music, I'm a happy boy. I also think if Trips is in charge... Mick Foley is absolutely already in Beetle Bailey. If Trips is in charge, I think we might even get the British Bulldogs in as a tag team, because I think it's time that the Dynamite Kid was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. Absolutely, 100%. But that will probably be at a time when it's back in Canada. But, yes, I think I believe Bam Bam is in there. We might – Terry Gordy is in there. Terry Gordy is in there, isn't he? Bam is not in there. Well, then definitely Bam Bam. And we could probably – she didn't leave on the best terms, is Dawn Marie. She didn't leave on the best terms because she hated the angle with Al Wilson. She was very upset about it.
Yeah. Like I would put Francine before Dawn Marie in a heartbeat.
Fair enough. I mean, both were incredible and really important. Maybe Stevie Richards. If you put Raven in, you put Stevie in. I think everyone would be quite happy to see them both in there. But it is interesting. The one we haven't talked about at length is Bull Nakano. Absolutely, I think that Alondra Blaze has to induct Bull Nakano. I don't think there's anyone else that could do it. Bull Nakano only retired, I think, within the last 4 or 5 years. She's not been retired from wrestling long at all. Really important. Tim Wilkes says the Blue Mini. Look,
I'm not like all these people we're naming. Sure, they worked for ECW, but have they had Hall of Fame careers? You know what I mean? Like, you put a good case forward for Sabu. Sabu, I could argue that. Raven, I could definitely argue that. Shane Douglas, even, I could argue that. Like, Mikey Whipwreck, I can see where you're coming from because he's a Triple Crown winner and all of that sort of stuff. But where I think where the difference is that at the end of their runs with ECW, guys like Shane Douglas was on top, Raven was always on top, like Sandman was always on top, Sabu was always on top. Mikey was like opening wrestler by then.
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
You know what I mean? I just don't see him in that same category.
He was a comedy wrestler. Alex Weihart, not an ECW name, but if we're inducting Bull Nakano, maybe we'll get Aja Kong. If not this year, down the line, absolutely. Aja Kong was incredible. She still wrestles. She still wrestles.
Didn't she? Nah, who's the one that wrestled for WWE, but as, what was her name? She was with Harvey Whippleman.
Are you talking about Bertha Faye? You're talking about Rhonda Singh. No, that was Rhonda Singh. Yes. That was an article. And yes. Rhonda Singh was an excellent wrestler who got absolutely fucked over by that gimmick.
Yeah.
Paid a lot of money, but sadly no longer with us, but Rhonda Singh would have been great. And I think, you know, if we can get Akira Hokuto in the WWE Hall of Fame, just because they do occasionally just put fantastic Japanese wrestlers in without any, like, Muta. Well, Muta, fantastic. Love it.
Yeah.
You know, Jushin Thunder Liger, great. Let's put Akira Hokuto in. Let's put, some of the other.
Thing is, too, like, how many, because I know back in the day, they used to put 1,000 people in.
Yeah.
But they sort of started going away from that. So how many do you think that they'll put in this year? Like, do you think four or five.
Because I can tell you this from experience. When we went in 2014, and it was a hell of a class. It was Jake, Razor, I can't remember who the tag team was, but it was Lita. It wasn't the Dudleys. It was Lita. It might have been the Bushwhackers, but it was Lita. Oh. It was, you know, so many great names. Headliner was the Ultimate Warrior, for what it's worth. But by the end of the night, the audience were absolutely deflated. Celebrity was Mr. T. He spoke for about 25 minutes. Anyway, there's a lot of advantages to the Hall of Fame, and it's good to see some wrestlers going in. Rey Mysterio returned on SmackDown. I thought that was kind of nice. I like the way they brought him back. He did influence the Santos Escobar match, but it wasn't like a huge influence. I think Ray still offers so much that's really interesting. AEW news, Okada debuted and immediately turned heel, like without without too much going on there. He is teaming with Nicholas and Matthew.
Matthew.
Yes. Also, AEW news is that Matt Hardy's contract expires at the end of this month. And yes, No one knows what he's going to do because he's not saying anything. So where can you see Hardy ending up, Todd?
I can't see him going anywhere else but AEW, no, to be honest with you. And if he doesn't re-sign with them, then I think he just hits the indies. Because I can't see at this current climate and the way that the WWE seem to be going, I cannot see them bringing Matt Hardy back.
Not as an on-screen character, no.
He doesn't fit there. He doesn't fit what their move is at the moment.
Yeah,
and he's not big enough a name to.
Yeah.
Big enough a name to warrant coming back. I think this is why he was probably really, really nice about the Young Bucks for a few months now, because he knows where his bread's buttered. And they're still negotiating the deal.
His brother Matt will be his contract's up towards the end of this year. AEW has suspended Sammy Guevara.
See, you say that, but it won't be at the end of this year, because they will keep all the time that he had off through rehab and all of that stuff. They'll tack on to his, because that's just what they do. I know that I know. Speaking of, like, just through stuff I know, that that's what they do. Because I believe they're going to do that with Mark Davis, with his time off through injury. So they'll tack it on at the end of the contract.
AEW has suspended Sammy Guevara, speaking of Jeff Hardy. Fightful reported that Guevara's suspension is related to his no disqualification match against Jeff Hardy at the February 14 Rampage taping. Hardy was injured during the bout when Guevara's knee collided with Hardy's face on a Shooting Star Press attempt. The match was not stopped following the injury, however. Rather, Guevara gave Hardy his go-to-hell finisher before pinning him, which today's report stated was not proper concussion protocol. Old Uncle Dave has confirmed the news, saying that Guevara was told to pin Hardy and kept going, with the key being the finishing move. Meltzer said it's unclear why the referee or doctor didn't just stop the damn match. If this is true, then Sammy should know better.
I just think this is very, very suspect.
I too as well.
It's I do as like, well. It happened midway through February. Alex Fireheart said, so they can just let. Why? Sammy's a good worker. Don't blame Sammy for his booking.
Sammy's a great worker.
And honestly, you've got, like, I didn't want to go off here, but hey, you've got fucking doctors ringside. You've got referees. The referee could just call that fucking match off easily. I don't know why the referee isn't being suspended, and I don't know why the doctor hasn't been, like, they haven't announced something going on with the doctor as well. This is two things. Like, they're blaming the one guy, but for me, hello, Lachlan.
Hi, Lachlan.
It is extremely fishy to me that he is being suspended around the same time that Mercedes Moné is coming into the company.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's like, there's a lot of smoke around
this
fire.
There's a lot of smoke. There's also the fact that, Alex, I just want to respond to something you said, so they can just let Guevara go, please. No, I would prefer Guevara stay, because he's just getting out of the stink that was Chris Jericho. He was in a hole of suctitude for the past 4 years, and he's finally beginning to get out of it.
If they let him go, WWE are going to make a fucking star out of that kid.
Oh, God, they're going to snap him up so quickly. He'll be NXT champion 100%. In 6 months. He will. He'll be NXT champion.
They will make
champion.
A star out of him. He's and that's why Tony won't let him go. That's 100% why Tony will not let him go. Because Tony, like, we might give Tony shit, but he is smart when it comes to that shit. He knows how good certain people are. He signed everyone at the start because he's like, oh, yeah, I can make something out of these guys. But then with a few of them, he's like, oh, okay, this is why NXT got rid of him. Like, I don't understand how, and this is, I know the guy signed it to World Series Wrestling, but I don't understand how Ryan Nemeth is still around there, because I've seen him do not much at all in that place. Whether he does something behind the scenes, I'm not too sure. But I just don't see... I don't see the money in him, unfortunately.
That's fair. Look, I think I pretty much agree with you, Todd. I think Sammy is such a talent, and he's got such a future. Like, he's still very young. And, like, WWE are really, really, like, Trips is a smart guy. And William Regal particularly is very smart. Don't you think that if his contract comes up and he's a free agent, Regal won't go, you sign that boy now. Regal worked for the company for a year. They know who they're going to take. There's a list. They're checking it twice. So speaking of people, Darby Allin needed 12 stitches after that glass spot. Idiot. He will be cleared to face Jay White at Big Business on March 15th. Big Business, of course, means Mercedes Moné is definitely headed for that company, sadly. We've already spoken at length about this glass spot tonight. I don't think we need to reiterate it. But, you know, be more careful. The AEW tag team titles are officially vacant, as we mentioned. Tony Khan announced during the AEW Revolution media scrum on Sunday that a tournament will be held this month to determine new AEW tag team champions. Khan said the tournament would start in March, but didn't give a specific date. What are your thoughts on that, Todd? Who do you think is going to take it out?
I do not know. Honestly, I don't, because, like, let me see who's in the thing first. Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Let me see who they put in this, because they haven't announced who's in the tournament. Like, we've only seen I've only seen that one team is announced for it, and that is, like I said before, Best Friends. So you've got teams that could be in it, like you got like BCC, like Mox and Claudio, FTR, the Young Buck could be in it, Private Party could be in it. You've got Best Friends that we just said were announced. That's five teams just off the bat right there, without saying like God help us, Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal. You've got the Guns. You've got Acclaimed. There's a whole. They have a massive tag team. Like,
and roster. then there's things like Mox and Claudio, who wouldn't surprise me if you see them. It wouldn't surprise me. And BCC. I know that for some reason I can't be seen at the moment. I don't know what it is. I'll just turn my camera off and on again. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see Penta and Ray come back and in that tournament, as long as their visa issues are cleared up. So I'm hoping that we get to see them again. No, I've gone. I've disappeared for the night. But that doesn't matter because we're reaching the end. Jeez, we're about 45 minutes quicker than when Lachlan's around.
Well, I don't want to blame him, but I'll blame him.
Oh, look, I think this is going to be a really fun tournament, and I'm looking forward to seeing how it goes. Their last tournament, which was the Continental, was fantastic. So I think, you know, if they run along similar lines, we could see something really special. Alex Fireheart says that I'd hope the tag teams would go to a team that haven't won them yet. Yeah, I think we all do. I think we'd all kind of like that. I wouldn't mind the Guns winning it. Really?
Even though
they've won it, they've been doing great work. They've got off the boil a little bit because they're not booked.
Yeah, I completely
agree. Anyway.
Well, they're booked. They're the Ring of Honor six-man tags? Yeah. The Ring of Honor six-man tags with Jay White.
Oh, are they? See?
Yes.
That's
fine. Oh, also, New Japan Cup happening at the moment too with our good friend Gino on commentary. Back on commentary.
Gino's back on commentary in Japan. We were messaging back and forth today.
It is hard for him to commentate because every time a shot goes to the commentary booth, he just too busy flexing to himself. Yeah. So that could be an issue for him that he might have to look for down the line.
And if you want to flex and find that you're not wearing a shirt that quite fits, head on down to Redbubble and pick up some of our shirts. That's right. Wrestle Radio Australia has a whole heap of shirts. Thank you very much, Todd. And not just our 10th anniversary shirts, but a whole bunch of shirts from throughout the years. They don't go to us. The proceeds of those shirts go to Redbubble and Gotcha for Life. Go to Gotcha for Life and other men's health charities. On that, we want to make sure that you guys are okay. So please, everybody, I know I say guys, I do mean non-binary friends, I mean female friends, I mean male friends. I hope you're all okay and that you're doing well at this time of year as we head towards WrestleMania. Now, Todd, the name of the show is Chicken Salad, Making Chicken Salad. What is your chicken shit for the week? What turned you cold?
I think I put it in our chat today that just when you thought the House of Torture couldn't get any more shit, Jack Perry joins House of Torture. So
it is.
There you go.
It is kind of funny. Mine, honestly, was the glass spot. Mine was Darby Allin dropping 20 feet and falling through a pane of glass. What a fucking idiot. But it's not all bad. It's not all bad. We've got to highlight the good. We highlight the suctitude. Let's highlight what totally reeks of awesomeness. Todd, what reeks of awesomeness for you?
Look, it wasn't the match that everyone talks about on Revolution, but I'm an FTR mark, and I thought FTR and BCC was a really, really good match. I really enjoyed it.
That's great. That's great. Obviously, I couldn't rave any more about Ospreay against Takeshita. I thought it was terrific. And I think that it really, really shows you how much faith they've already got in Will Ospreay. I'm interested to see where he goes from here. I thought it was good.
Mm.
There's some things going on around town. In Melbourne, of course, MCW Icons is on March 30th. Slex versus Emma. Slex versus Eman. Eman. Slex versus Eman.
I feel sorry for Emma.
I'm sorry. The Pareja versus Icons and Delta versus Lucky O'Leary. That is going to be a lot of fun. Tickets are moving very, very, very quickly. MCW do have a hot hand at the moment. Also on the 21st of April, UGG versus Emin. There we go. Said it right that time. Renegades of Wrestling there in Northcote. And after that show, we have a WrestleBrania after party at 7:30 at the Catfish. I'm not going to tell you, but I signed one of the guests this week for that show. And it's very, very exciting. He's always fun on the WrestleBrania stage. A repeat guest, go figure. And it's not Lockie. It's not the Aspirationalist. So there you go. That's what's Welshie, going on.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Well, she's on the show anyway. Also to mention, Starcast Down Under the 11th to the 14th of April at the Mining Exchange in Ballarat. Platinum tickets are $660. A gold pass is $110. Single day ticket is $66. It's a wrestling convention, so there'll be vendors for collectibles, figures, sideshows, also for meets and greets and autographs. Cast so far announced, Sheldon Benjamin, Gangrel, Tennille Dashwood or Emma, Mike Rollis, Lisa Marie Veron, SoCal Val, Dalip Singh or the great Kali, Mance Warner, Steph Delanda and Powerhouse Hobbs so far. OceanaProWrestling.com or Starcast.com for your tickets. And also just announced by the Oceana Pro Wrestling crew, OPW will be back in Ballarat August 31st to September 1st for Gold Rush with the MLW crew. It's going to be a lot of fun. Look, I think there'll be three really interesting and fun days.
Yeah, look, I'm trying to find a way to maybe try and get there. For the main thing is, and this sounds fucking weird for anyone else, I guess, but I want to find Conrad and I want to get that photo with the big gold belt. I want a photo with the belt. I love that belt. That's my holy grail. The actual big gold belt with the Ric Flair proper filigree name on it is one of the ones he owns. It's one of the ones he's bringing down. And, yeah, I love that belt. Don't get me wrong. I want to see Bret Hart. That would be cool. That would be awesome. But I want a photo with that big gold belt.
Oh, and of course, Bret Hart and Mickey James have also been announced, Alexis Lurie. So,
and Eric Bischoff.
So I think it's going to be a really, really good cast. Grab your tickets now. Support that local venture because it's going to be a lot of fun. Also of note, WrestleBrania 6, the new branding was launched tonight. The new poster will be out in days. Get your tickets April 7, 14, and 21, 5:30 on the 7th and the 14th. 7:30 on the 21st, we have some fantastic guests, both comedically and also in terms of wrestling. I am so excited to tell you more about that very, very, very soon.
Bit of Bailey, we have a rule. If you're bringing a belt, you have to defend it. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. There's if you're going to bring a belt to StarCast, you get ready, mate. Yeah. Todd, is there anything else to mention?
Yes, I can ask Jeff about 2K24, he said.
Oh, yeah. I was lucky enough. Thank you very, very much to 2K. I was lucky enough to get my hands on a copy a couple of days ago. I have been really enjoying playing as Rhea when she first joined the WWE. Quite clearly, they were bringing her on to be another blonde, attractive blonde powerhouse. And she's really turned that on its head. It's a great, fun game. Tim Wilkes says it's awesome. It is. It's a lot of fun. I'll be doing a full review next week. I'll break it down properly next week. But the 40 years of WrestleMania thing is kind of nice. And there's some other things to talk about. While Todd shakes his head and goes, how the fuck did you end up with that? So there you go.
No, it's more like I run the ads. I did a lot of the pushing for it. And Jeff gets the sweet and the 2K24.
I'll explain that.
Usually I get taken out for dinner before I get fucked. But, you know, this is a different way of doing it, I guess.
If you don't want to get fucked, remember to subscribe and join us here on Twitch. You can subscribe any way you are. It's Wrestle Radio Australia. We are here almost every Thursday night. If not, we let you know. Follow us on socials. Follow us on X. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Facebook. And remember to follow Todd at The Beast Eastman on Twitter. You can follow me at Jeff_Seti, as well as my little side project at Wrestle_Brainier. And, of course, you can also follow the great man Lachlan Albert, who is away on assignment. He is actually doing some of the player modelling for WWE 2K25. We can't talk about it. He'll be back next week to talk about it a bit more. Join us next Thursday. We're going to find something to talk about. I always have fun doing this. So thank you to everybody who's joined us at Twitch, at Facebook, at YouTube, in the chat. Thank you very much, Todd, for you. I've been the black screen Jeff Seti. On my left, as I'm facing him, is the amazing Todd Eastman. Support local wrestling. We'll see you again soon, but good night for now.
Here I was, blaming AEW for feeding you chicken shit, knowing you mindless millennials would be eating it up as if it were chicken salad, when it's really been your fault all along.
Make chicken salad.